20 years ago, software would return error numbers because there wasn't memory to put all the messages in the software, and you go look up the number in a book.
Yeah.
But there's no need for that. There's no need for that anymore. There's no need for users to have to guess as to what happened. And this one said it was an invalid object name message shown to a user, but what the user wants to know is, how does this impact me, and what do I do next? Especially if you're dealing with people's money, if they're making a payment, there's that question, well, did it really process my payment?
Yes.
I don't want to process it again and be billed twice or have it taken out of my account twice. But I don't want to have a late payment because I didn't submit it.
Oh, that's true. When you were saying this, I was trying to remember all instances where I've come across such a thing. So even recently, when I was testing last week, and I got an error message saying, ODBC error 403273. It didn't give any information to the user. And as you said, as you rightly pointed out, it's something that helps developers and not the users. I'm not sure even if that can help developers because the testers say that it has been for quite some time. And that's the funny part about it. Once when I was using Apple Macintosh system, that was my uncle's PC. You know, we got some error message numbers, as you say. So we were forced to search on that error code to find out more information. And once the user gets an error message, the user has to spend a couple of minutes investigating on that to understand what it means.
You mentioned the Macintosh, and it reminds me of one of my favorite error messages. This is probably about 15 years ago on the Mac. And if you started to run out of memory, the system would give a message that says, you're running low on memory, please close down unneeded applications. Mm-hmm. And then I'd try and close an application, and it would say, not enough memory to quit. And it get into the state that we had to unplug the computer to get it to shut anything down. So the warning came too late. If there truly was not enough memory to close an application, the message came way too late.
I mean, that's the funniest I've ever heard about error messages.
Yes, not enough memory to quit.
That's fantastic.
I used to do some tutoring of people and using software, and I used to get lots of questions about when Microsoft... I think it was in Windows 98. It would say you've performed an illegal operation. Mm-hmm. And people often interpreted that to mean that they broke the law and the police were going to come knocking on their door because they'd performed an illegal operation. And that was another error message written in developer speak that normal users didn't understand. And they tell me, I didn't mean to do anything illegal. What did I do? How do I not do it again?
What would be the consequences? Is there,
yeah.
is there a log that says about that? Cool. So recently, we took up a task of looking at they wanted to call it reforming the UI, reforming the usability. So when we were doing that, we found that a couple of error messages had different icons. So the red color X, and developers had given for some error messages the triangle with a yellow exclamation mark. So there was a lot of inconsistency which was not found, and this product is going in the market for 5 years. 5 years. So I was happy that the round of testing that we did uncovered errors in the error messages that are not just about the words and the meaning it conveys, but also the other aspects of it. And there was an instance where the close button, the X mark that's there in the window, appears to have been disabled, but when the user clicks, he's able to close it.
I think one of the reasons is that error messages are often an afterthought. They're not part of the central design, not part of the usability requirements and design, but it's something left up to each and every developer to write whatever they want for wherever they put it. I tested a system, this wasn't error message displayed to the user, but error messages in an error log that, for a batch process. And I, as a tester, wanted to be able to look at that log and find out whether or not there were any problems. And part of the theory for our testing was that the first time through, we were going to test the data that was produced by the system, and we were going to test the error messages. And once we had some confidence in the error messages, later testing could primarily focus on reviewing logs. However, every developer wrote their own message however they wanted, so there was no standard to how the messages were written, so there was no way for us as testers to create some sort of automated script that would mine the logs for things we cared about. Because one developer would call it an error, another would call it an exception, another would label it a warning, another would label it something else. And I begged for some standard formatting so that we could then have some automated something mine those logs to make it easier for us testers to review them, but we could never get it. So I think it's important that errors reporting needs to be part of those central design considerations. Part of the things where there are some guidelines. Here's what that triangle with the exclamation point means. Here's what the stop sign means. And here's the types of errors we'll use those for.
Yep.
So I think of James Whitaker's book, How to Break Software. Mm-hmm. And he describes different attacks for testing software. And the first thing he has in there, the first one, is to try and make every error message show up. As a tester, imagine what errors might happen in the software and try and make them all happen. I think that's a good approach to start testing something quickly. Try and make all the error messages happen. But not only do we need to see how the functionality is around those messages, but are those messages useful to the user?
Yeah. When you were saying this example of you trying to mine the error messages, I tried doing the same. I was shocked to see the error logging, although the developers claim to have been logging the error messages. I worked on the software for 2 days. I tried using it, testing it, and doing a lot of different combinations and exploring it. I could see that the error.log file still read 0 KB. I went and asked the developers, are you sure in 2 days of my testing, there was no error that could have been logged in this file? And they started looking into it, and then they realized that in one of the versions, they had actually turned off the error logging. And that kept continuing, and hence we could not get the errors logged after that particular version. So this is a totally new thing to me, because I mean this is the first time that I encountered that such a kind of an issue.
Yeah, I was here thinking of another error message. The local newspaper on their website has an option like on a blog where people can comment on the news stories, and it's very particular about what you can have in the text. So if you have any invalid characters, it gives a warning message. I just brought it up. It says, warning, only letters and numbers are allowed in the comment area with the exception of period, question mark, and exclamation mark, which can appear at the end of the sentence. Please revise your posting. So the first time I encountered that, I'm thinking, what? I can't put spaces between words? I've created messages that contain all those things they say are allowed, and it won't accept it. So it's a poor error message that frustrates people. And as I read the comments in the news stories, it's a regular complaint that people can't post what they're trying to post because the error message doesn't match the actual rules and the code underneath it.
That's true.
Because we can use spaces between words, but there's some other something we can't use, such as what I just wrote. I got a question mark, and I think it doesn't like where I have the question mark.
In none of the test scripts that I've come across so far, never the expected output written by a tester was, we should get an error message like this.
Yes. For all the things that we document requirements for, or even document usability requirements, Or the other thing I've often seen is they'll say, overall, this application must have this particular look and feel that meets the company's brand image. I don't think I've ever seen that applied to error messages. And say, this is our look and feel for error messages. These are the things that should be in it. And then I don't see in test cases, I may see test requirements, someone will say, well, an error message should occur if this happens, but nothing describing what should be in that message.
Okay.
Nothing, even if it's high level, such as the error message must tell the user what happened and how, tell the user how it impacts them and tell the user what they should do next. The user doesn't care that the code underneath couldn't find an object. They don't care that the database connection was lost. They want to know, how did this impact what I'm doing and what do I do next?
Absolutely. The so many test cases or test scripts that I've come across, as I said to you, is never carried. I mean, I must also admit that I myself haven't written that.
And I think that one of the reasons why we overlook error messages is confirmation bias. It's the same reason why it's often common to overlook test cases that try and make errors happen. That we have requirements and we try to prove them right rather than consider under what circumstances can we break them. But as testers, we need to try and break it.
Yeah.